not to be unkind, but I doubt very many Iowans know who you are.
No, I think that's accurate.
It's not unkind. And you're running for president?
I'm thinking about it. We're out here exploring the possibility.
How so?
Well, meeting with people that are tied in, obviously, thanks to Christopher, to the political scene in Iowa, people have the experience, understand how the process works, and have been through this several times, and can tell you whether or not there's a possibility for another entrant or whether or not the field is essentially closed to Iowans. And I think what we're finding is that there's still people that are waiting to see what's going to happen. There's an absence of pure enthusiasm one way or the other. And so that's at least what we found out today. But it's still in the process of finding it out and exploring it, so I don't want to make any firm conclusions at this point.
But you spent money on a space at the straw poll, so you're going to participate even if you're not a candidate?
Well, we were told, I'm still exploring, we were told that you had to purchase it that day. We were also told you could do it anonymously, which turned out not to be the case. So if you hadn't have done it, then I think it would have been a serious setback if you do choose to run.
What?
And if not, then either way, we'll still be there to
meet voters. What are the factors weighing on your decision?
Well, first, obviously, Iowa is so critical. It's first in the country. So you have to come in. And I would think that you'd have to at least give a very good effort in Iowa in terms of trying to get your message out to see how it resonates with voters in the heartland, to see if it can then be taken to New Hampshire. So to me, that's part of the reason I want to see what's resonating here, what isn't, and to get a kind of a sense of whether or not it's a possibility. So that's one of the things. The other's obviously the family, but my wife said I can do it. It just means my honey-do list at home gets a little longer.
A lot of Iowans, as we mentioned at the onset, don't know who you are. Mm-hmm. What is your list of accomplishments in Congress?
Well, I think I was the leader of the anti-Wall Street bailout. I also helped lead the charge, and still do, on foreign affairs in terms of especially, I think, the Green Revolution in Iran, which was missed by the administration, which is one of the keys, I think, to helping to achieve what we need to for American strategic interests and our allies in the Middle East. I was also out in front on the Mubarak situation. Me and John Bolton, we were both appropriately excoriated by many until we started to find out that it has not turned into the promised democracy that many had hoped for because of the way that it was handled. I think you also, as a Detroiter, I'm also very proud of making sure that the manufacturing base in the United States did not go under with GM and Chrysler, and I stand by that, and I will continue to defend that as absolutely necessary, especially in the wake of the Wall Street bailout. So those are two of the biggest issues that I've dealt with there.
Where do you see your opening? You mentioned that there's not a lot of enthusiasm. It seems as if people are waiting for folks like Sarah Palin to enter the race, or maybe even Rick Perry. Chatting with people at an event last night in Waterloo, many of whom were just there to see Michelle Bachmann. They weren't there to say they were going to vote for her. They were mentioning folks like the people that I've mentioned. They weren't mentioning you.
Right, which would make perfect sense. But then again, when you see, and again, part of the reason I'm here is because, again, you can see poll numbers in Michigan relating what Iowans think or somewhere else, but until you're here and you can actually see it and feel it and hear it from them. When you talk about the field and when you see the national polling, especially out of Rasmussen, there's a sense in the Republican Party and amongst the Republican primary electorate, the Republican caucus electorates, that they're still waiting to see what happens and they're not entirely satisfied with the field. And so to me, that tells me that to a certain extent, when you talk about who may or may not run, I think everyone's aware when they talk about the field that Governor Perry, Governor Palin are potentials and that those are factored into whether or not they're satisfied with the field. Or are they looking for something that's relatively new that they haven't heard of before? So I think that if you want to look at it in kind of an interesting way, you could be very thankful that you're not a particularly known quantity at this period of time, because the ones that they do know, they don't seem to particularly have an ardor for at this point in time. And again, I'm not saying that eventually if I get in that they'll love me either. But if you don't ask, you'll never know. At least that was the approach I took with my wife when we were dating, you know.
Do you have a question? So how long are you are you here for just a couple of days and then going mm-hmm. else? Are you going to New Hampshire?
Wednesday, I leave Wednesday. I'll be giving a long-scheduled Lincoln Day speech in Quincy, Illinois. And then I'll be back for a little bit on Wednesday. And then I fly home.
How many stops here in Iowa?
What's the number?
Oh, I don't know how many stops.
Is it just today? Is it a couple
no,
of days?
No, we're working our way down to Quincy, Illinois, and then coming back up. We're speaking at the Tea Party bus tour stop in Ottumwa this evening. We're meeting with activists this morning, this afternoon. Like I said, we're working our way down through Mount Pleasant and Keokuk and Burlington on our way down to Quincy because it made sense logistically to do that, and then come back up and then fly out.
And so when you said Wednesday, you mean you'll be back here Wednesday?
Yeah, we're coming back from Quincy, and then Wednesday, but Wednesday I do fly home.
Okay.
Home being Livonia, Michigan.
Ironically, we're going to bracket Palin and Pella. We've got small group of Pella before and after she's there.
That was one of the things that, you know, Sarah Palin got criticized for, quote-unquote, stepping on Mitt Romney's big day. Do you have any, regrets about maybe stepping on Michelle Bachmann's big day by coming here to Iowa? And sort of
oh, I think it was purely coincidental. Yeah. And we sit next to each other in committee, so she hasn't said anything, so I think she understands that. And especially given my relative obscurity that you've been so kind to point out, I don't think that she's sweating that either. In fact, I thought that her announcement was when she did the debate, which I think was very well played, actually, and then she had the something yesterday and now the formal announcement today. So I don't think that necessarily that she would view it that way, but you'd have to ask her. I certainly don't intend it to be like that.
Obscure candidates can be a success, a.k.a. Mike Huckabee. But he spent a lot of time here far in advance of the caucuses. You're just making a trip here almost on the verge of July. Do you think you have enough time to mount a successful campaign, raise the kind of money that's necessary, or is that the kind of campaign you intend to run?
Well, it will depend. Obviously, a lot of things are happening in this election at a later date than happened in past elections. I think it's a sign of the chaotic, uncertain times in which we live in many ways. The electorate is very focused on this election, and the electorate wants to make sure that they get it right. And so question to me is, this being a different type of election, obviously we're under 500 days to the final election, but is it too late? No, you still have people like Governor Perry and Governor Palin, who obviously better known, have much more time to make a decision. I'm not saying I have much time to make that decision, but to me it's the electorate that has determined whether or not there's a possibility, and that's what we're here to try to gauge. You know, in past elections, you would have had Mitt Romney would have been our heir apparent. Republicans like to follow the tail in front of them with their trunks.
Why isn't he now?
You'd have to ask the electorate. I think that for whatever reason, he has not been able to inspire the electorate. I think that he is, in many ways, trying to play it safe, believing that he'll be the presumptive nominee. And that becomes a very iffy proposition for those who are that presumptuous.
You also, in our conversation of state to policy difference with Governor Romney, you supported the federal assistance for the car makers, whereas he has criticized it, sort of.
Well, he said let them go bankrupt, but that was not what happened. I have several differences. One, I don't believe in comparative effectiveness research as the basis of any type of healthcare system in the United States, which undergirded both Obamacare and Romney Care. The government would control the supply of health care. Now, we know that if you try to control the supply of health care through government in a time of rising demand, when cost stays supply stays stagnant or constricts, demand goes up, prices go up. So to me, that is it's a fundamental difference. I also had a fundamental difference with him on the question of climate change. I call it weather. And I don't think the manifestations of trying to implement that, which will hurt prosperity and hurt the opportunity for the Americans to recover, however he proposes to put it forward, will be helpful, especially to a manufacturing state like Michigan. I think that also when you talk about the Wall Street bailout has not only been unjust, it failed. The banks are trying to, quote unquote, recapitalize, but there's no credit flowing. The banks are heavily still in debt. They're already laying people off, which shows you that nothing good is going to be happening anytime soon to get the type of credit flow that we need to entrepreneurial startups and innovators, which are going to be the small businesses and the new entrepreneurs and the workers that will grow the economy, which is why people are so surprised that we seem to be heading towards a double-dip recession, or that at least it remained flat and stagnant. on the question of the auto industry, the Wall Street bailout versus the auto industry, the question was, after the vote for Wall Street, you had $700 billion sitting there that was provided by people on Main Street. The issue to us then, as a legislative body, we could not use auto mandate loans that had already been approved, that stopped in the Senate. So the question President Bush faced, in which I supported his decision, was, do you take some of the money from Wall Street to help cause this problem and try to save some jobs on Main Street? Now, you can argue, as an economic construct, as Paul Ryan and I have, is that there's $300 billion in social safety net costs if the manufacturing base goes under. That's Moody's estimate, not me and Paul. So to us, to take some of that off, give them a chance to survive, not only would have helped save, at least give you a chance to get some money back, which they will, but as a fundamental construct of the social compact, how could you take money from people who live in 90-foot lots and give them to people who live in 90-foot yachts? They didn't do anything to restructure the banks. They didn't do anything to restructure the way they were run. They didn't investigate as to who might have done something to put us in this position. And instead, if you'd have left the other people and told them to go bankrupt, that certainly would have been the message you send to the people that work for a living every single day within not only the auto industry, not only within the manufacturing base, but within the related supply of jobs that are there for the retailers and everyone else. Mm-hmm. So those are some fundamental differences I have. I have policy differences with him, especially over Egypt, where I thought he was, to ask Mubarak to go was very precipitous, and we've seen what happened. You've already seen the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood. We've seen many of the young people that wanted, and the Coptic Christians that were hoping for true democracy and the respective individual rights in that country, are already very worried, very concerned. So, I could go on, but...